Greetings, sensationalists from across the fruity plains.
You're listening to The Andy Finn Show.
The smooth talk of the town.
Cool.
We are back on The Andy Finn Show, and I'm here with Otto Krager, one of the world's leading experts on the Myers-Briggs type indicator. And Otto, can you give us some kind of an overview of Myers-Briggs? We'll get into the specifics in a minute, but sure. What would you tell people that want to know, that don't know anything about it or don't know much about it?
Well, first of all, you and I, because we've been through this together, not because we've rehearsed anything, but because you've been trained in the Myers-Briggs and so on, you and I know that it's incredibly complex, and that's not a negative, it's just something to keep in mind. So to answer your question as simply, let me do, first of all, and I want to do eight synonyms on the eight scales of on the eight preferences of the Myers-Briggs. There are four scales and they're opposites. So it's extroversion versus introversion, and the synonyms would be outwardly directed versus inwardly directed, or social. I don't want to use that word because introverts are social too. So let's use gregarious versus reflective. Just when we're talking about the extrovert introvert, recognizing everybody does both. All right. The second scale, the official term, is when you observe something, when you look at something, when you, Jung's word, perceive something, are you more trustworthy of your senses, or are you, do you see it as it is, or do you see it as it might possibly be? And if you see it as it is, you trust your senses. What can I taste, smell, touch, see? So you're more literal. If you see it as it could possibly be, then you're trusting, says Jung, your intuition. And that means you're more figurative. You're more big picture. On the hypothesis that some of our radio listeners may at least know some of the biblical characters, Thomas was a censor.
The doubting Thomas.
The doubting. Isn't it interesting? That's the press he now gets. Because he wasn't a doubter. He was simply a pragmatist. He was simply a realist. He came back and they said, Tom, baby, you should have been here. Some big things happened. It was Jesus himself. And he says, not to be profane, but you guys are BSing me.
My first name is Thomas, so I know something about doubting Thomas. I also lived in Missouri a few years in my life. So
you got it.
Show me.
Show me. And if I can't see the nails, I don't believe.
That's right.
Don't tell me that. You know, if I can't see it, if I can't touch it, if I can't tell, you're BSing me. And I don't have time or patience for that.
So
He was a censor. He trusted his five senses. And for intuitives, there's nothing that ruins a good little bit of imagination, a good story, a good little BS. There's nothing that ruins it more quickly than reality, than facts, than specifics. God, I'm on a roll, and you interrupt me. Well, what was actually said? Listen, what was actually said was so boring, I wouldn't waste time saying it. That's why I colored it up.
Right, right.
And that's intuition. And, of course, by the way, the intuitives see the sensors as a pain-in-the-act pessimist, and the sensors see the intuitives as flat-out liars. They're bullshit artists. Neither is true. Both are right.
Yeah. And no one is all one or all the other behind all of this.
Never, thank you.
We may have a What do you call it? Not a dominant or a propensity. What's the phrase you use?
Well, in Myers-Briggs, you have a preference for one over the other.
Yes.
So you prefer your, right hand? Are you right-handed?
Yes, I am.
So you prefer your right hand more than your left hand. But that doesn't mean you don't use your left hand.
Yes.
The one you use very naturally, and it just happens. The other, you use it naturally, but you don't realize how limited it is till you got your right hand in a sling.
Right.
Then all of a sudden, something becomes very cumbersome here. And that's all we're talking about here. Everybody sees the world as it is and sees the world as it can be. But if you're a sensor, you prefer and naturally go to what is. If you're an intuitive, as you are and as I am, we go to what can be. I know what is. That's so obvious. Andy, since for the intuitive, the real, the literal, the specific, it's so obvious that an intuitive can't believe you would even want me to say that.
Yes.
Why would I say the obvious? Look what's beyond the obvious to the excitement. And the sensor rolls their eyes and says, here we go, down bullshit lane again.
Yes. Yeah, and, interesting.
And both need each other to kind of keep us honest and to keep us growing, personally. But okay, right. So it's EI, outward, inward. It's literal, figurative. Now we come to how you prefer to make decisions, and that's, we got into this with your words. If you are objective and impersonal and analytical.
That's me.
Nothing personal. Jung says you prefer thinking judgment. And the good word for that is objective. And I'll come back to that in a second. You're a college professor, so you can appreciate, I think, what I'm going to come back to. But anyways, if as you start with, well, you know, how would I react? I can't decide this till I know what impact it's going to have on the people involved, including me. I can't make up my mind till I find some harmonious way out of the situation. And if that's the case, then you make a subjective decision, which Jung called a feeling judgment. So thinking is impersonal and objective. Feeling is subjective and interpersonal. And the words thinking, feeling lead us astray. But the college professor part of you, go back to the days when you were in your English class in grammar school and they taught you to diagram a sentence.
Ah, yes.
You remember you drew the straight line and then the cross line and the subject came first. Guess what? For a feeling decider, the individual comes first in the decision. It is central to what's being decided.
Right.
So in the sentence, the subject is central to the theme of the sentence. In a subjective decision, the person deciding is central to what's being decided.
Yeah.
And you got to understand that. So everything's personal. When a thinking decider like you looks at the feeling decider and says, you just screwed up. Nothing personal. You're wrong. You have just destroyed them because it's very personal that now they are wrong in front of a friend. And you're saying it's a thing that's got nothing to do with it. For the feeling decider, it's got everything to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
So the subject, the feeling decider becomes one with what's being decided. The thinking decider, like the object, remember you drew the cross and then the object was put up above the line because it didn't get involved in the muck, if I may use that, of the theme of the sentence. It needed to stay removed, aloof, so the clarity to the sentence could prevail. A thinking decider uses a great deal of his or her energy to stay uninvolved in the subject matter because clarity is what must drive the decision. And once you got clarity, hey, I'm sorry you're going to be hurt. The good news is you'll recover. This is what must happen. I'm not getting paid to be liked. I'm getting paid to make the tough decisions. And this is a tough one, but here it comes.
That's the objective side.
That's the objective side.
Yep.
And actually, my sense of living is we need both. See, and I tell this to people, and both are good ways. Here's the thinking decider, okay? We've got a job done. We got a job due at 5 o'clock tonight, close of business. I come walking in the office, and you're out of your mind with tension. Thinking decider looks at you and says, Andy, I can tell you're upset. I am sorry you're upset. Let me give you a perspective. This project you're working on has to be ready at 5 o'clock tonight with no excuse. I'll make you a deal. If you'll put your time and attention on it, give it your full shot with me trying to provide some help to you. At 5 o'clock, I'm yours. We'll go have a beer. You can cry on my shoulder all evening, but right now, focus on that project. We get it done. We'll listen to your problem. Feeling decider is 180 degrees that walks out. Andy, you're upset. You can't work on this project that way. It'll screw up your outcome. It'll make a mess of you. Let's go get a cup of coffee right now.
Let's clear the air,
yeah. And you'll work twice as fast when we come back.
Sure.
And I don't know that either is better or worse. It's the way one comes at that same issue, and it's the way the other one comes at the same issue.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I probably suspect if I'm a feeling decider and you do it my way, you and I'll work best at cleaning up the air and getting the job done. If I'm a thinking decider and you go my way, you and I'll work best at getting the job done and getting your problem aired at this, you know, along the way. It's a matter, again, of what you and I said earlier. It's a matter of coming out of your strength. It's a matter of working what works best for you.
Right, right.
And if I'm your boss, that's the way I'll work best with you. But okay, so we got outward, inward. We got literal, figurative. We got impersonal, personal. E-I-S-N-T-F. And then the last one for me is A, the most obvious to see, and B, the most fun to watch if you're not involved in it, all right? And it has to do with how you live your personal day-to-day outer life, what the world sees of you. And if they see you as an organizational buff, if they see you driven by time, if they see you making lists and using them, then there's a high probability that your public day-to-day living is a reflection of your decisive function, be it T or F. Behaviorally, T or F is decisive, is driven, is structured. On the other hand, if your behavior is more go with the flow, you can't find the list that you just made, you don't know where the car keys are, but you have an awful lot of fun looking for them, and it's a thrill a minute, then there's a high probability your last letter in the Myers-Briggs terms is P for perceiving, because your public day-to-day behavior is a manifestation of the perceiving function, be it S or N. Now, that gets confusing till you see it. P's are just fun to be around. Again, now our age is showing on this, and with your background, you've got to remember Eric Burns' Games People Play.
Sure.
And in Games People Play, Eric Burns says everybody has a parent, child, and adult in them, and when my Otto's parent speaks to Andy's parent, we communicate pretty well. When Otto's adult speaks to Andy's child, we can get into some stress. All right, hang on to that. If your last letter in Myers-Briggs is J, it means your public persona in Burns' model is critical parent. So J's come at the world like a sit down, be quiet, open the door, get organized. It's time we get to work. Everybody, attention. That's J, critical parent. If your last letter's P, your day-to-day public living is natural child. Whoa, look, there goes some bird. Wow, I didn't see that. Have you seen that before, Andy? Look at that's brand new. Isn't this exciting? Yeah, well, they want us there in time. Why don't we just come late? It's fun to watch them go nuts. And you're a much more playful child about everything.
Mm-hmm.
You get into a sticky wicket, and the P starts by saying, oh, this is a sticky wicket. We're in some real trouble here. What do you think we ought to do? As opposed to taking action and structuring it and going with it. Attractive, by the way, as the Dickens to each other. J's and P's find each other. Oh, like they're going out of style.
Interesting. Well, and another piece of that for me is I think about this. When you say it as parent versus child, it sounds like the P is there's an immaturity about it. But in fact, it's also in terms of a decision-making process, the J's, and I'm a J, are willing to cut through. I've collected enough data. I want to make a decision today and move on to something else.
Sure.
Whereas the P is somebody that says, well, you know, it never hurts to collect more information.
Exactly. So P's miss some things because they want to wait one more day to see if the price comes down lower. J's often get the wrong thing and have to take it back because I'm here right now. What the hell? I don't want to make a trip back.
That's right. They made a decision.
I buy it. And again, what's right or wrong? There isn't any. It's a matter of overall, and it's too simple to say it this way, but overall, J's are more stressed or restless with hanging loose. They would the extreme J would be a poor decision is better than no decision at all, and I don't believe that. But that's for them. It's closed now. Andy asked me if I could play golf Saturday. I don't know what I'm doing Saturday. I couldn't find my calendar. So I just said no. No, Andy, ask me later. I'd rather have that decided, and then I get home and learn according to my calendar would have been a perfect day to play golf.
Yes.
And so the P, on the other hand, you want to play golf? Sure, I'll play golf. Then I get home and learn, geez, I got four other appointments for 9 o'clock on Saturday, and here it is only Wednesday. This is going to be one exciting Saturday. I can hardly wait for it to get here to see what happens. And the first thing I'm going to do is not call anybody. Because just statistically, one of these four things isn't going to make it.
Right, right.
And I can hardly wait to see which it is. That's just so exciting to the P, and that ambiguity would drive the structured type crazy.
So is it safe to say that a decider is much more likely to be using calendaring kinds of things and personal digital assistants and all of that, tracking everything, whereas the J's are going to be much more just kind of going with the flow.
P's. The P's.
I'm sorry, thank you. The P's,
are going
with the flow. Yeah.
Oh, God. Palm pilots. See, with all respects, Covey has it made because he appeals to both in that. The seven habits and the organization and the time clock and the day timer, is that the right word?
Day timer, yeah, it's a brand.
J's buy those puppies like they're going out of style and use them.
Right.
So we got them wrapped up for sales. P's look at them and think, oh, my God, at last my life's going to get organized. And so they buy them, and they've lost them before they get home with them. P's got more daytimers that they've never used.
Yeah.
They it's a great idea when you look at it the first time. It isn't going to work. And by the way, too general a statement, but that's also what attracts each other as couples. Jay looks across the crowded room and sees the P and thinks, oh, boy, at last I'm going to learn how to play. I got to talk to that man or woman over there. And, of course, the man or woman's looking back, seeing this, the structured type, thinking, oh, God, at last my disorganized life is going to get organized.
Right, right.
And in reality, neither wants the other. I don't want to learn how to play. I schedule play, it says the J. You know, and the P doesn't want to get organized. I get organized and I can't remember where anything is.
It looks good from a distance.
Yes.
We will be back after this.
Hi, I'm Andy Finn, and I am begging you to listen to my show at www.andyfinn.us.
The Andy Finn Show, Uncommon Talk Radio.